The following programming is sponsored by Clean and Sober Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
If you need immediate help, please call the National Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP.
Bottle of wine, fruit of the vine. When you gonna let me get sober? Let me go home and start over.
Welcome to Clean and Sober Radio. Brought to you in part by Recovery Centers of America, the nationally recognized leader in drug and alcohol treatment. Using proven, evidence-based treatment, including 24/7 medically supervised detox, inpatient and outpatient options, you'll receive exceptional care from an expert team of master-level clinicians, physicians, nurses, and staff using 12-step methodology and medications. Jefferson University Hospitals and Thomas Jefferson University, providing excellent clinical and compassionate care in the Philadelphia region, a proven leader in healthcare and education since 1825, and Acadia Healthcare, with locations on the East Coast. Acadia maintains a standard for excellence in the treatment of behavioral health and addiction concerns. And now, here are your hosts, Gary Hendler and Mark Sigmund.
Welcome to Clean and Sober Radio. My name is Gary Hendler. I'm along with my co-host, Mark Sigmund, and we're going to give another great show today. Clean and Sober Radio features real people with real stories about addiction to drugs and alcohol. But before we start the show, I'd like to thank some of the radio stations across America that are broadcasting Clean and Sober Radio. And they are WWDB out of Philadelphia, WWNN out of West Palm Beach, Florida, WHFS out of Tampa, Florida, and KDWN out of Las Vegas, Nevada. Welcome to the show. Mark, how are you?
Doing great, Gary. Another week went quick. Just been hanging out. Doing
great.
How
are
you? Oh, so in the news today, we got Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin, has revived pardoning. In October 2021, Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers issued 15 pardons, adding to the 71 grants he made over the summer, bringing the total number of pardons since he took office in 2019 to an impressive 278. To contextualize this number, the Wisconsin Pardon Database, which extends back to 1977, contains a total of 986 pardons. In just 30 months, Governor Evers has accounted for more than a quarter of all pardons granted in Wisconsin over the last half century. This is particularly significant because pardon is the only way that a person with an adult Wisconsin conviction can regain rights and status lost as a result of a conviction. Equally notably, Governor Evers has reinvigorated a dormant pardon process after years of neglect. Scott Walker, who served two terms as governor before Evers, did not grant a single pardon, but the Pardon Advisory Board, PAB, is appointed by the governor to oversee applications and hearings and to make recommendations for or against pardon. Perhaps the board simply neglected its job. He also streamlined the pardon process through an executive order in September 2021, authorizing the PAB chair to send applications from people with dated nonviolent offenses directly to the governor's office rather than have them face a PAB hearing. The process is still subject to certain statutory requirements of public notice and official comment, as described in the Wisconsin Profile in the Restoration of Rights Project.
Well, that's really good news. You know, anytime any government official, government, the federal government, state or local, it's state or federal, that are willing to understand that people need a second chance, it's very important. I applaud that governor for doing so. And I think a lot of the states are starting to move in that direction. Pennsylvania certainly is. And I know how important a pardon is because yesterday was my one-year anniversary receiving a presidential pardon from the President of the United States.
What a day that was. I almost fell off my chair when I found out that Gary Hendler got a pardon. That was awesome,
yeah,
Gary.
Absolutely. So this is important stuff. They're starting to recognize that, you know, many people should have a second chance. People change. As we talked about, you know, people that do time or do probation, when it's over, it should be over. Why are you penalized again? You know, so I applaud this governor, and I hope that other governors and law officials are watching this kind of stuff and willing to get on board with it. So when we come back, We're going to have our guest on, and we're going to talk about a lot of stuff that can happen to you if you're driving drunk on the highways. We'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
If you're struggling with alcohol or drugs, Recovery Centers of America can help. RCA's local inpatient and outpatient programs are founded on science and delivered with heart from an expert, caring team who will inspire and guide you every step of the way. Call 1-888-RECOVERY now to speak with a treatment advisor. At RCA, you'll be in a community that builds connections and fosters support from peers and RCA's team of medical professionals and recovery support specialists. At RCA's state-of-the-art campus in Devon, PA, and Mays Landing, New Jersey, they tailor your treatment to you and also offer specialized programs for patients with history of trauma, for patients who have achieved recovery but are experiencing a relapse, for young adults, adults 50 years and older, a confidential program for first responders and military, and a faith-based program. RCA answers the phone and accepts patients 24/7. And because it's local and in-network with insurance providers, treatment is affordable and accessible. Don't wait. Call 1-888-RECOVERY. Recovery today.
Hey, this is Mark Stein from Vanilla Fudge, and I listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-329-3306. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Pennsylvania DUI lawyer Zachary Cooper devotes 100% of his legal practice in defending accused drunk drivers. His experience as a former prosecutor gives him a distinct advantage when defending DUI cases. Now, before we bring Zach on, we just want to clarify that's Zach's job because a lot of people are unfairly pulled over and convicted. And, you know, he's got a job to do. We do not we are not for people drinking and driving, but somebody has to defend people just because a lot of people are pulled over unfairly. That's what we're talking about. So, Zach, welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. Good to be back.
Welcome.
Here.
Yeah,
always good to be back.
So, how are you? What's going on?
What's going on is, you know, it's first of all, it's good to be back. The courts are reopening.
Okay.
They were shut down for a little bit, as a lot of businesses were for, you know, with COVID and whatnot.
Yeah.
So they're reopening and they're redoing things. They're doing things a different way. So Zoom is still here. I don't think that's going anywhere.
Yeah.
A lot of hearings are by Zoom, but they have to get going because there's a backlog of cases. There's, I believe, in Montgomery County, there's thousands and thousands of cases that are on backlog, and they want to get them through. And some of those people are just sitting in jail.
That's the horrible part
correct.
Of this system.
Right.
This is the, you know, I've often said that our criminal justice is about as primitive as any other country, you know.
And I've heard it, you know, dealing as a therapist. I've talked to people who would talk about their court date just not being non-existent. And I actually had some that were saying, well, I hope they forgot about it. But, of course, they didn't. No,
it's there. I mean, I've had cases that were and it is because of COVID. I mean, it was shut down for almost a year where I have cases that are 2 years old. And I have clients, just like you said, that are like, well, maybe Zach won't call me. Maybe I'm not getting a court date. But guess what? Now these court dates are coming up, and, you know, you have to go. I mean, there's penalties. The judges want to move these cases. But like I said, there's a lot of people that didn't make bail or they're sitting in jail waiting for a court date that right now we don't even know when that's going to be.
And, folks, listen to this, because if you're going to drive drunk or stoned, You could be in for a shock of your life, for your life. You know, we talked about before we went on the show that although, you know, the pandemic had less people driving, the increase in consumption of drugs and alcohol rose considerably.
Correct. And I can't speak to some of the things as far as, you know, I know that people are drinking a lot more during the pandemic. You hear stories. I hear it from clients that from a mental health standpoint, being stuck at home for a year, year and a half, people are resorting to drugs and alcohol, and that's how they were getting by. I hear that all the time. And unfortunately, now these people, you know, get in trouble. They're in the court system, and, you know, we're dealing with it now. So You know, between the drugs and the alcohol during the pandemic, that stuff's not going away. I can assure you.
So let's talk about the do's and don'ts if you're pulled over by the police. You have certain rights.
Correct.
There's certain things you should do, and there's definitely certain things you should not do.
Right.
Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, people always ask. I get that when I'm just in a general, like, social setting. Hey, if I get pulled over tonight, what do I do? And
I wouldn't reach for your gun. That's the first thing.
Right. I mean, first and foremost, you want to be cooperative with the police. Uh-huh. There's a way to do things where you're not going to find yourself on TMZ and, you know, being thrown out of the car. So you do have rights. I mean, a police officer has to have a reason to pull you over. Remember, police are not pulling people over because they think that, you know, you have a DUI. There has to be a reason they're pulling you over. Speeding, running a red light, bad registration.
Tail lights out.
Bad tinning. I mean, you name it.
Swerving.
Swerving. I mean, now the police officer will somehow articulate away in the affidavit of probable cause as to the reason that they pulled you over. And then it starts from there. There's, you know, they're going to talk to you. They're going to see if you're slurring. They're going to see if they smell alcohol. They're going to see if you're fumbling your papers when they ask for your driver's license and registration. And then all of that together, they're going to put like a totality together and say, you know what, A, B, C, and D, we're going to bring this person out of the car. I'm going to give this person field sobriety tests. Now, at that point is from a legal standpoint in Pennsylvania, you do not have to agree to give those field sobriety tests on the side of the road. Most people that do not have a DUI on their record, first time ever, do not know that, and they give them. Now, if you have alcohol in your system, drugs in your system, I see these videos every day from people doing field sobriety tests, and they're not good. You know, so, you know, people are stumbling, they're holding themselves up, they're reaching for the car, you know. But I'm just – you asked what you have to do. You do not have to do the field sobriety test.
What do you have to do then? Cooperate.
Well, you definitely want to cooperate.
And if you don't agree to the field sobriety test, they will take you in for a blood test? Is that how it works?
They will. Now, having said that, even if you don't agree to the field sobriety test, if they feel that you're under the influence of drugs or alcohol or both, they're probably still going to take you in to get some type of test if they feel that you're driving under the influence of something. If it's just drugs, certain police stations have what is called a DRE, a drug recognition expert, that they will do a litany of tests to you. They'll check your pupils. They'll check everything. And at the end, they'll still have you arrested for a DUI. So I don't want you or your listeners to think that if you don't do the field sobriety test, you're going to get out of a DUI. You'll still get taken in. From a legal standpoint, it's one less thing that they can use against you in court is the field sobriety test.
Yeah. Mark, did you ever have a field sobriety test?
I did, and I failed it miserably. I mean, they told me to say the alphabet backwards from like U to E.
Listen, let me tell you something.
What?
Yes.
Okay, so that's – now everyone always says, do they really say that? It's very rare that you get a police officer or a trooper that says, say the alphabet backwards. I mean, I don't know anybody that can do that.
Yes.
I can't do that.
That's like asking you to speak Spanish.
It was the worst.
Right?
I can't do that either. Right, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, that's rare that you see that.
And you can't pass these tests. I mean, I remember because you got the big bright light on you. It's nighttime and they –
Well, that's one of the things I do look for. So when they set up the field sobriety test, and I am an instructor when it comes to field sobriety tests, they're supposed to set them up in a way where the bright lights are not in your eyes, that you're not facing them, that you're not – you're supposed to be on a flat hill, not a hill. You're supposed to be on a flat surface, not a hill, so there's an incline. They're supposed to ask if you wear glasses and all this other stuff. So I agree with you. I mean, I think the statistic is 60 to 65% of these tests, you know, they're meant for you to fail. That's my opinion.
I got railroaded.
Because most people cannot do these tests sober.
Right. So, are there issues also with the calibration of the equipment that is being used? That can be off.
Well, that's a big so basically the police officers on the side of the road have what is called a PBT or a portable breath test. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the other thing. Most I can tell you this, that the portable breath test is not admissible. That result is not admissible in court. Okay? And the reason for that is just what you said, Gary. Most of those PBTs are not calibrated properly, so you're not going to get an accurate reading. Now, because of that, that's another thing that you can decline to take. Okay? So if someone says to you on the side of the road, hey, we'd like you to take a PBT, and you say no, you know, that you can do that. They're not gonna, you're not gonna get in more trouble for that. They might bring you in. Now, if I was driving and I knew I had nothing in my system and maybe I was reaching for something and that's why I swerved, I would want to be as cooperative as possible, knowing that there's absolutely nothing in my system.
Right, right. But, you know, the pros who have been pulled over and charged many times, I guess they pretty much know what
right.
not to do.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you've been arrested for a DUI multiple times, you learn from each one. I mean, so, you know, the pro is not going to probably take the portable breath test, is not going to take the field sobriety test. They may even, and this is something else we can talk about, if they take you to get a blood test, yeah. That's something else. Do you take the blood test? Do you not take the blood test? What are the, you know, ramifications if you do or don't?
I think most people are afraid at that point, and because they don't know, they're willing to do whatever the police says. You know,
you would be amazed. I mean, you would be. A lot of my clients refuse to take the blood test
really?
Because they think that, number one, they want an attorney present with them. You're not able to have an attorney present with you if they take you to take a blood test. They think, well, oh my God, well, am I gonna be found guilty automatically because they found alcohol in my system or marijuana? We've talked about this before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
marijuana stays in your system for 30 days or more. So people don't know what to do, and it's a very rash decision, but they say, yeah, I'm just gonna refuse, and then they realize 30 days later when they get a letter in the mail from PennDOT that their license is automatically suspended for 1 year just for the refusal.
Yeah, that penalty just for the refusal. PennDOT, is it the first DUI? Your license is gone?
First DUI, if you refuse, which is separate from the DUI. The DUI is criminal.
Right.
The refusal is civil through PennDOT. It's a 1 year license suspension, right? And these people that are working, they don't know what to do. Now, they actually changed the law a couple of years ago. Not only is it a 1 year refusal, after you're done that, you then, for the refusal, have to put an ignition interlock device in your car for an additional year for the refusal.
Yeah, I would imagine really nobody knows that. And then there's the other part. You're going to court.
That's criminal.
But what more – what? Let's say you're found guilty in a court of law. Is it another year suspension or is it –
That depends on what DUI it is. So if – like we've talked about in the – if it's your first offense DUI and you have a crystal clean record and you get on to that ARD program, which we talked about, which is a first-time offender program, you could have a license suspension anywhere from no suspension at all to 2 months instead of an extra year.
That's the first –
that's the first
– first offense.
That's a first offense DUI.
But – okay, first offense – so if you don't refuse and you take it – you take the test and whatever happens, you still go to court – can you get ARD first time?
Absolutely. Well, not only can you get ARD for first time, ARD was designed for first time offenders. So let's say you have a prior retail theft from 8 years ago that's done with.
Yeah.
But you get a DUI today. You're not eligible for ARD. You probably won't get it because you have a record from that retail theft.
What, is there a 10-year spread?
The 10-year is a look-back period for what number DUI it is.
Right.
Now, all the counties handle DUIs differently and ARD differently. A county can still deny you ARD even if you got ARD 12 years ago or a DUI 12 years ago.
Let me just tell our listeners and our viewers, ARD is a accelerated rehabilitation disposition. Is that what it is?
Correct.
And that gives you – It gives you – the first timer, it gives you a break is what it does.
You can get – with ARD, not only do you get a break on the suspension, there's never any conviction with ARD. And after you complete your program, which is usually anywhere 6 months to a year, you then can have your criminal record expunged.
You can.
You can.
First – for the first offense.
For ARD, correct.
What happens to second offense?
So a second offense, you're not going to get ARD. ARD is off the table. So depending on what your blood alcohol level is, that's going to be determined as to what you're looking at. So for instance, let's say that you get pulled over. All that's in your system is drugs, just marijuana. That's it.
Yeah.
Any drugs in your system for a second offense DUI, you're automatically looking at 90 days minimum in jail. Because remember, that's the other thing. In Pennsylvania, and a lot of people don't like this, they have these mandatory minimums for DUIs. So the judge has no discretion. No discretion. The judge, whatever judge it is, has to give you a minimum of 90 days in jail if you have drugs in your system and it's a second offense DUI. Now, one of the things that they're beginning to do, depending on the county, is there's other things that you can do to avoid jail time. One of the biggest things I tell my client to do the minute they call me is to get into treatment. So if they get into treatment, especially inpatient treatment, for instance, in most counties will count for jail time. Outpatient treatment will not.
Okay.
So if you do inpatient treatment and someone says I did 90 days inpatient treatment, I don't even care if it's in Florida, which I have clients do. It could be Arizona. It doesn't matter where. That I get a letter from the facility, that can count for jail time as long as it's an accredited inpatient facility.
You know, one-third of every traffic accident that is results in a casualty, one-third of all of them are due to drugs and alcohol. One-third. And I'm sure the number's actually higher, but that's what they're saying here. And it looks like about 10 or 11,000 people each year. Total deaths actually have gone down. In 2016, there were 38,000. Then it went down to 37,000. In 2019, there were 36,000. So it's going down. I don't know if that is because of the cars are made better.
I don't know. I can't speak to why that's going down. I can tell you just from a personal, you know, I've handled, I think now, four or five cases in the last couple where people have died. And four of them were all first offense DUIs with nothing, no record whatsoever. Oh, young. Man. So, I mean, yeah. and it happens. And at that point, Pennsylvania has, you know, a mandatory, you know, you're looking at state prison at that point. If you have a DUI and you kill somebody, you're looking at state prison. And
could first be three, offense.
First offense.
So, folks, listen to what Zach is saying. If you kill somebody and you have nothing in your body, that's one thing. If you're drunk, it's a whole different story.
It's a whole different ballgame. And one of the things that – and we can get into this later another
time. Yeah, we will.
One of the things that people don't realize is – and this is huge. I mean, it's huge. Prescription drugs. People automatically think to me – this is the answer I get to them. My doctor said I could take them. I've been taking them for 15 years. I've been taking them for 20 years. Well, guess what? When you're in the court of law, they don't care. So if you have prescription drugs in your system that can affect your ability to operate a motor vehicle on the road, you're going to get charged with a DUI, especially if someone is killed.
That's a very good point. As a matter of fact, in recovery, in AA and NA and everything, there are some people who are still using like Percocets and saying, my doctor prescribes it must be okay. It's a big problem. That's because doctors aren't educated.
No, they're not educated. And then the last point on that I'll make is, I had a case where I'm like, well, you know what? Well, your doctor's not the one being arrested now. You know, I said, well, let's bring your doctor into court and he can testify. Guess what? On that one, the doctor did not want to come into court.
That's all right.
The doctor didn't want to come into court and testify. Of course they don't. So you have to be careful. I'm going to tell you that most of my clients are on some type of prescription medication, and that's what gets you in trouble. Even like you'd be surprised how many Ambien cases I get, like an Ambien, like a sleep medication.
Yeah.
And they say, oh, I took it the night before. I didn't know it was still in my system. That gets you a DUI.
From the night before.
Correct.
Sure.
And then the pot, that's a whole nother issue.
The pot's a different story. And then the other question I ask is, when you're taking prescription medications, are you taking them within therapeutic levels? People take them as they should, and then there's other people that pop them left and right, and they just whenever they feel like they need them. So their levels, because we get the blood reports back, are way higher.
Yeah. Well, we know that, don't we?
We sure do, Gary.
Right?
We sure do, and I've seen a lot of these. I've worked with a lot of clients that were taking their prescriptions and got a DUI.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's more prevalent now than ever. Is the prescription medication.
So if you're listening to the show, listen, if you have any questions, comments, give us a call. But what would you do if you got pulled over by the police? We'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Don't let addiction rob you of one more day. Pocono Mountain Recovery Center offers comprehensive addiction treatment for adults. Depending on your unique needs, your care at Pocono Mountain may include detox, residential treatment, and an array of outpatient options. We also offer transitional living support and transportation for outpatient participants. Pocono Mountain is in network with most major insurance plans. Start your recovery journey at Pocono Mountain Recovery Center. To learn more, call 877-596-0223.
Hi, I'm Billy J. Kramer. and I listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-329-3306. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Hey, if you're just joining Mark and myself, we're talking to attorney Zach Cooper about what can happen to you if you are drinking or drugging and driving. And it's a you better think twice about it. It's no joke. Before we get back, we have a lot of people here that are watching. Let's just acknowledge them. Michael Shoemaker, Jeff Phillips, Debbie Reynolds, Linda Carroll, Judge Andrea Duffy, Mimi Dorshu, Kathy Wolf Collin. Let's see who else. Joel Cooper is watching. Do you know who Joel Cooper is, Zach?
I do believe I know who that is.
Okay, that's good. Let's see what else. Okay, we're back. We promise we'll get to everybody. So, you know, a car is like a gun. It's like any weapon, and you have to be responsible. You know, it just because you got a driver's license doesn't give you a free rein. You have to use the automobile responsibly, and if you choose to get high or drunk or whatever you want to call it, you could end up the rest of your life in the extreme in prison if you kill enough people.
Yeah, that's the truth, and I'm having the same discussion we're having right now. I'm having with my daughter that just turned 16,
mm-hmm.
because I feel like, you know, when you're 16 and you're young, you're not thinking and you're not really, you know, making the right decision. So, I mean, I see a lot of kids, you know, that I represent that are in juvenile court that are 16, 17 years old. And that's where it starts. And then it just snowballs and I'll see them maybe in a couple of years. I'm trying to avoid that with my clients.
Right.
And I am pushing. I know I'm pushing treatment. Because unless they go to treatment, I don't see it getting better. So that's what I'm pushing.
Well, the situation, I don't know on your end, the general situation is getting worse. The overdoses, the addiction, it's not getting any better. And I don't know if anybody knows the answer to it. I mean, it's systemic. The driving part of it, and I was told I need to, if I use a big word, which I looked up, systemic, that's part of the big picture. That's what it means. And drunk driving is part of the big picture of addiction.
And it's – I'll tell you, back in the 80s and 70s, you'd see so many highway fatalities. And you'd think as we get further along, you'd see a lot less. You know, it's just devastating.
It is devastating, and you're going to see it more and more with, you know, for instance, when people are getting their medical marijuana card.
Yeah.
You know, now I know people have told me people are like, well, I'm going to get my medical marijuana card because they think like, okay, I don't even think that I talk to people. Half these people that have medical marijuana cards that I talk to probably don't even have it for a legitimate purpose. They just want to smoke marijuana.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. They just want to smoke marijuana. Now, they are changing the law, or hopefully a little bit, where they're saying, well, if someone gets a DUI and the only thing in their system is medical marijuana they're pushing for and the DA can't prove that it was anything other than the medical marijuana, maybe we can get a lesser, you know, instead of the highest tier, maybe it can be reduced.
And don't you find clients that say, I have a medical marijuana card. I'm allowed to do what I want.
All the time. People – and that's what I'm saying.
And you better carry it with you.
Right. People don't know the law. People don't know they have to carry it with you. But people think that having the medical marijuana card is I can smoke and drive anywhere I want.
And they think they drive okay too.
Right.
That's the thing, right?
They do. Yep.
Well, I would imagine most people that use medical marijuana are using something else too.
Right. You're not just – right. If you're – there's something else in your system when I take the blood – All they're honing in on is, well, I have a medical marijuana card, but I'm like, well, what about the cocaine? You don't have a cocaine card, you know?
Okay.
So
guess what? They will at some point. That's
I'm
the
sure,
problem.
I'm sure.
So it's interesting what you said, Zach. They can determine through blood whether it's medical marijuana or street marijuana.
Well, no. What I've read so far is that it's going to be on the district attorney's office. They're going to have the burden to show whether or not there was any type of illegal marijuana or how they do that. Now, for instance, if they have they can look at the marijuana, which they measured nanograms per milliliter. Okay, so you can see what a person's level is when you get the report back from National Medical Services. And I've seen through the roof, numbers through the roof. At that point, I think a DA, depending on how high it is, would certainly take that to trial. because someone that's taking medical marijuana, which is not a lot of THC,
right,
is not going to be that high. And remember, if you're taking marijuana and you're smoking marijuana and it stays in your system, eventually you're going to have the carboxy. The carboxy is within the marijuana. That does not cause impairment. So you can tell by looking at, you know, at the blood report, what's in the system. Have they smoked recently? You can actually tell that by looking at the blood report.
And it can make a determination between the CBD and the
There are certain things that you can see. Like, for instance, when they measure for marijuana, they break it down. So you'll see THC-9,
yeah,
which causes impairment.
Yeah.
Under that, you'll see carboxy. I'll give you an example. I have a case, or I've had a case before. We get the National Medical Services report back. All that's in the system is carboxy. That's it. So that shows me that the person did smoke. It might have been like 20, 25, 30 days ago, but that doesn't cause impairment. And at that point, you know, that should, you know, be argued that maybe it shouldn't be a DUI.
Do you get any cases where somebody has applied to a job and it's assuming the marijuana stays in your system for 30 days and they get rejected because they smoked it 20 days ago? Is there a defense to that? Is there a recourse against the possible employer?
I've had cases before, and I don't take them further than giving them to an employment law attorney.
Yeah.
Because at that point, they say, well, they're not hiring me because they found this in my system. Now, unfortunately, I'm not sure if there's anything they can do. I know that I just had a drug court hearing, and the drug court judge, he says, listen, this is what he said to my client. You know, whatever comes back in your blood, that's what it is. Don't eat poppy bagels, because he says, you know what, if it comes back in your system, I don't want to hear that you ate a bagel. You know, we go by what that blood result is.
You know, I've heard that with the testing result in the automobile. You know, if you have mouthwash and
yeah,
then you blow into that thing, it's hot.
Oh yeah, I've taken when I did these courses for, you know, to refresh for field sobriety test, we actually got to try that. We would put Listerine in our mouth, and then a couple minutes later we would blow into the machine,
yeah,
and it registers because there's alcohol in that.
Right, right.
So,
but that's innocent. I mean,
but people aren't thinking. People aren't thinking.
They're not thinking. But how is it viewed in your business or with the prosecutor? How do they view that?
Here's the problem. If I get a client, which is rare, and they have a little bit of alcohol in their system, and the defense is, well, I had a Listerine that morning. It's very hard to prove, first of all, if it was Listerine or if it was a Michelob Light.
The reason the person has that device in the car is because they're drinking.
Correct. That's right. Exactly right. So it's hard to prove that type of stuff, but you see that all the time, especially with the interlock. You see that a lot, because if that detects any alcohol at all, your car's not starting.
Oh, man. It is. Guys, audience, this is another thing. You get jammed up. It is a nightmare to have that device in your car for a year.
Oh, it's
you know, and I'm just talking about everyday driving. You need to take your car in for service. You got to be there with the car because they can't start the car.
And don't forget this, which I never thought about until my client. Don't forget that if you have a family that shares a car, if your wife doesn't have a DUI, guess what? She's still got to blow in that car, in that device,
man,
to start the car.
And if she's hot, you're hot.
Right. Because that device, wow, remember, it's hooked up to your car, but it's hooked up to the person. So
yeah,
it affects everybody in the household.
Did you ever see one of those devices?
I have not.
Oh,
thank,
man,
God.
I have personal experience, not myself.
Yeah.
But what a pain that is, man.
Oh.
And also,
did you have the camera with yours?
No. But, oh. No, it's not mine. It's
no,
somebody
I'm saying.
Else. But you know who it is.
With yours.
So also, you can be driving and then the alarm goes off, and you got five, like a minute.
Got a couple minutes to
Blow into that thing. If you're in the turnpike, oh man, where do you pull over?
I've actually had clients that have had multiple DUIs that got one of them on purpose so that they wouldn't drink and drive.
I do that. Wait, first of all, I mean, not so they don't drink and drive, but I have people that have real bad cases, and I say, listen, it's going to cost money because the interlock costs thousands. It's very expensive depending on how long you keep it in there for.
Yes, it is.
But I have clients that I tell them to put that in immediately from the date that they get arrested. Put that in, because we can bring records to court that shows that you did that proactively and that you have no, you know, positive tests there. That's actually good to use for a client that has issues and that needs help to put that in their car.
Yes. If you've just joined us, Mark and I and Attorney Cooper – Zachary Cooper, we're talking about the ramifications of driving stoned or drunk. And, you know, if you, you know, if you're listening or you're watching us and you need help, give us a call, 1-888-329-3306. That's 1-888-329-3306. And Mark and I will do our very best to get you help. So call us now if you think you, if, even if you think you have a problem.
And there's hope. There's lots of hope. We say it every week. Get, you know, give us a call.
Yeah, and we definitely. So, Zach, tell us the costs. What does it cost if you run us through, you know, if it's your first time, it's your second time, the court, the legal fees, the fines, where can this really end up?
Well, it is very expensive. I can tell you that just for a first offense DUI, to hire an attorney, you're talking a couple $1,000s just for the attorney. After you hire the attorney, the court costs just for ARD in Montgomery County, that could be around $2,400 to $2,500 just for ARD. And all of these increase as you get a second offense DUI, a third offense, because the judge has discretion to give you. I mean, you could get fined up to $10,000. It's really up to the judge, the facts of the case, the DA. But there's people absolutely that have DUIs, multiple DUIs, that are spending $5,000 to $10,000 before they're out of this thing.
I know there's no debtor's prison. What if you can't pay it? Do you go to prison if you can't afford it?
No. Well, I can speak that a lot of counties, which I think is great, if you have a client that cannot afford ARD, you can actually reach out to the district attorney's office, show some pay stubs, you know, tax returns, and they can actually significantly reduce the amount of fees that you would pay for ARD. If someone's on ARD and they haven't paid everything or done all their – I find that they're not really kicking people off as much now, but just extending the probationary time to give that person enough, you know, time to get that stuff done and to make the payments.
How many times can you get ARD, say, in a county like Montgomery County?
So that's changed. I mean, it used to be where it was one and done. You get one in a lifetime. Now if you have a client that has a prior DUI from like 14, 15, 16 years ago that's old, they will entertain giving you ARD again. So that's a good thing. But, I mean, ARD was created for, like, someone with a crystal clean record. It's like a one and done. But they're changing that a little bit. Now, for drugs, there's something called Section 17, which is a little bit different. But it's basically ARD. But, like, if I have someone that has a possession of marijuana on them or possession of cocaine, you can get Section 17, get a 30-day probation, and then that's expunged from your record as well.
Let me ask you this. If you get a first-time DUI – and you blow in the highest tier, and you can't get ARD for some reason. Maybe you had a shoplifting thing years ago. What kind of penalties are you facing?
So basically, if you have a first offense DUI and ARD is off the table, again, the judge that has to give you a mandatory jail sentence depending on what your blood alcohol level is. So if you are above a 0.16 alcohol level, or if there's drugs in your system, the mandatory minimum is 72 hours in jail. However, if you live, for instance, you can get now in Montgomery County, they're going to give you or entertain giving you house arrest, especially if you live in the county. If you did 72 hours or more at an inpatient facility, that can be credited towards jail time. So there's different things that you can do to hopefully avoid jail time. Now, some people cannot. They tell me they can't do inpatient treatment because it's just way too expensive. You know, so I hear that all the time. And they tell me, I talk to X, Y, and Z from all these places, and it's too expensive. So, you know, unfortunately, it's certain people can do it, and certain people – it would be nice if it was even for everybody, but it's not.
Look, the inequity of the law, you know, the legal system
– is there.
It's definitely there in so many ways. And here's another, you know, another example. Wow. All
now,
right.
And rehab after work, by the way, or different places, different, you know, are allowing people to do the outpatient treatment now. And a lot of them are doing it virtually or by Zoom, which helps people out tremendously. I can't speak whether or not that's just as good as being there in person.
Nah.
And I mean, that,
listen,
you
if,
guys,
that was, if that was me or Mark, I'd be getting high and then I'd get in front of the screen.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
How it happens.
It can't
right?
be the
Let
same.
Me tell
it's
you.
Always better to be in person. But
yeah.
You're seeing a lot of that virtual Zoom, and it's like I said, I don't think that's going to go away.
So you're saying, let me just get this clear. So I get pulled over and I'm drunk. I'll lose my license for a year through PennDOT, right?
If you refuse.
If I refuse. I go to court. What's the worst that can happen?
Well, hold on. If you go to court and you don't get ARD, you're looking at an additional 1 year suspension. So you got the refusal suspension.
Yeah, people need to know that refusal can really
The refusal is the big. I disagree with the way that PennDOT does that.
Yeah,
that destroys people because when people get this letter, and they call me up and I don't have the answer, and they say, Zach, I got this letter from my refusal. How am I going to get to work? How am I going to take my kids to school? How am I going to do these errands? How am I going to, you know, go to the doctor's office? And PennDOT doesn't care about that. You can't say to PennDOT they need their license because they have to do all this stuff. You're looking at unless you appeal the suspension, and you can do that and hopefully win, you're looking at a one-year suspension. You can put the interlock in your car 6 months early now, but you still got to keep it in for a year.
Yeah. Now, what about jail?
For a first offense?
Yeah.
Well, you're looking at 72 hours mandatory.
Okay, 72.
Second offense is 90. Third offense is a one-year state prison sentence if you're at the highest tier. So a 0.16 or higher or drugs.
Third time. And what about your license? Is there any scenario where you lose your license for good?
Well, yeah. I mean, for instance, I have a lot of people that come to me. I'll give you an example. Their livelihood is driving trucks, CDL drivers.
Yeah.
I mean, if you get – they can lose their CDL for life. And so that's – those cases, we're fighting all these cases, but they have a lot to lose because their family, everybody relies on them. And that you don't even have to be in a truck to get that.
You know, there's probably people listening right now saying, you know what? You people driving drugs, you deserve what you get. Well, I agree that with a chronic, with an alcoholic, somebody who can't control himself. But a lot of situations I imagine are housewives, husbands who were at a party. They had too much. They go out and they get pulled over. And there was no intent for this, but they just got stupid.
Yeah, the majority of my DUIs that I represent are first offense DUIs that never thought they would be in this position. You know, they're good people. They really are good people. Like I say on my way, you know, they made a mistake. They made a mistake, but like you said at the beginning, this shouldn't, you know, haunt them the rest of their lives. They should be able to serve their penalty, do what needs to get done, and move on. But it's strung out. I mean, it takes a while to get through all that. And then there's the other one. I just had someone call me. If someone's not ARD eligible, you know, this person drove for a living. Try getting a job if this is on your record after a DUI. You have no shot compared to other people that are applying.
Oh, yeah. And question for you. You mentioned CDLs. Isn't their blood alcohol, even if they're not working, lower?
Much lower.
To get a DUI?
Right. Correct. So if you're a CDL, if you're a school bus driver, all this stuff, by the way, I agree with.
Yeah, it makes sense.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
But you know, it once they get the DUI, once they do their time, their penalty, and once they pay their fines, they should be allowed to continue on with their life, you would think, and make a living.
Yeah, but it's punitive.
It is
punitive.
I can't get over the one to 3 years or in state prison for your third DUI.
Third offense. That's at the highest tier. If you're at the highest.
Or drugs, right?
Any drugs in your system.
So it could be somebody could get three DUIs for pot and they could end up in state prison for a year.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Try that one. Right? But, you know, okay, so it's easy to say, God, everybody, listen to this. Don't do it. It's treatment, therapy. We need a different, I think, criminal justice system, and we need a different way of handling addiction.
And it's
not working.
And it's gotten so the penalties have gotten higher and higher every year, right?
Now they've gotten higher, but here's the thing. I mean, for instance, in Montgomery County, they have the drug court program. If you get a DUI, you can go on the drug court program. I think the drug court program is excellent. A lot of people that get DUIs, though, that I represent, they don't want to do it because, listen, the judge tells you it's intense.
It is.
It's 18 months. It's intense. So a lot of people think, well, wait, why would I do that when I can just do 72 hours in jail? I could be out. I don't have to deal with drug court. But drug court is intense. They do random testing.
Early in the morning.
they do it, and it affects your job. It affects everything. But you can get that for DUIs in Montgomery County. But the person has to want it.
And drug court, I'll tell you, is an excellent tool for sobriety. I've had a lot of people that have been in drug court that have gotten sober and stayed sober.
Oh, yeah. I've had clients that have graduated from drug court, and it's great.
Yeah. So if you got pulled over, would you know who to call? What kind of lawyer would you call? And we'll discuss that when we get right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
A cancer diagnosis can knock the wind out of you. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health can help. Our brand new Asplund Cancer Pavilion brings you 86,000 square feet of cancer-fighting science for truly comprehensive care. Backed by the strength of an NCI-designated cancer center. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health. The power to out-science cancer.
Hi, this is Judy Collins, and I listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-329-3306. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
All right, let's do a little roll call. Adam Burke is watching. Ibrahim Mohammed is watching from the, is it Seychelles Islands?
Maldives.
Yeah, Maldives. My man. Laura Story. Andrea Diaz.
Oh, my
watching.
Beautiful wife. My beautiful wife.
Your beautiful wife. Stephanie DePaul. Michael Morrissey. Josh Cooper is watching. I know who he is. Lynn Marie. Where is Mr. Cooper's office located? We're going to give all his information out before we're done the show, Lynn. Thanks for asking. Let me see who else. Okay.
I got a good one.
Who?
Rich Rosenbaum. He says, I have a friend in Florida with a breathalyzer in her truck for 2 years. She was sober for 2 years, and that's what the judge gave her. Not everything's fair. So she was sober for 2 years and then had to get the...
Lynn Marie says, hi, Gary and Mark. Happy Friday. Would it be possible to get email information for Zachary? I would like to email him resources. Can you private message me? Well, I think before the show's over, would you be willing to give your email out?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, we'll definitely take care of that. Okay. So, Zach, you get arrested. You don't call a slip and fall attorney.
No.
They call an attorney like yourself who specializes in this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I always tell everybody, and I'm very upfront when I talk to my clients. I even say to them, even if you don't hire me, I tell them that all the time, hire a DUI attorney that knows what they're doing, because at the very beginning, now's the time to minimize and mitigate this. Sometimes I can jump on the phone with the police officer before stuff is filed. Sometimes we can talk about the charges. Sometimes we can talk about the refusal. So you don't want to wait a month or two to get the paperwork in the mail. You want to get that immediately.
Absolutely. I mean, it's like you wouldn't call a ear, nose, and throat doctor if you needed heart surgery.
Right.
You got to get somebody who specializes. They know the law and they know the system. We have a caller on the line. Mike Hepp, are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
How are you doing, buddy?
Hey, Mike.
I'm great.
Good. What's on your mind?
We were talking about first time offender, nice people that, went out and had a cocktail.
Yep.
They're just over the limit.
Mm-hmm.
And they have an accident and kill a family.
Right. What do you think should happen to them?
That's what I'm asking the attorney. What happens with a situation like that?
Well, I mean, if someone's driving and they have alcohol in their system, even if you're just above the legal limit, if you're driving and someone is in a whole family, as you think I said, is killed, then you could be facing state prison time for each one of those family members that have passed away if they charge you with a DUI, and someone died.
Can you be charged?
Yeah, like a vehicular homicide.
Yeah, I mean, if someone dies, it doesn't – if they do a tox report and it shows that you have alcohol in your system or any drugs, even marijuana like we've talked about, I mean, all of a sudden, you remember this other family where everyone passed away, they're going to be screaming at the DA that this person should be put away. They killed my family, this and that. So, yeah, there's definitely going to be, looking at some jail time for that. I tell everybody on that note – and this is taking away from that in today's society, it's mind-boggling how people are not calling Uber, Lyft, all these driving services that are there to take you anywhere you want to go. You know, there's no reason to drive drunk.
But nobody thinks they're going to get caught.
That's the problem. No one thinks they're going to get caught. And more importantly, no one realizes after the alcohol's in your system and you're absorbing it, you're not thinking properly at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a big difference. If you're under the limit and you kill somebody, it's a big difference between that and if you're over the limit. Correct or
there
not
is,
really?
There is, but under the DUI statute, if you go not, and if you can under section 3802A1, there's no alcohol percentage attached to that. It's a person is driving under the influence of alcohol after imbibing sufficient alcohol, which rendered them incapable of safe driving. That's what it says. So you can still get a DUI if they can show that you were under the influence of alcohol, even if you're under a .08.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. What's the matter, Mike? You worried?
No, not at all.
Listen, Mike, listen, this is our buddy, man.
I didn't hear anybody ask that question, and I thought it would be interesting to see what the attorney said.
Yeah. And I listen, every time I go out to dinner, it's just what I do, and I see people at BYOBs.
Yeah.
All these people are driving home after dinner.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
it can happen like that. It can happen to anybody. So
my wife has a question. Hold on.
Go ahead.
Hi, it's Martina Hepp.
How are you?
Hi, we were meeting Mike's wife.
Yeah. What's up?
Yes. So I have a question. So my son had issues in the past, right? And he always told me, it's just marijuana, Mom. And I used to tell him, okay, I understand it's just marijuana, but that mailbox that you may hit because you're driving while you're high could be a four-year-old.
Right.
And in your brain, because your brain is under the influence, you may think it's a mailbox.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I tell my clients all the time, in my mind right now, until they change something, marijuana to me is just as bad or worse than alcohol.
Right.
Because it stays in your system?
Because that stays in your system. Yeah. Pennsylvania has a zero tolerance. And you're right. That mailbox could be a person. And if that person is killed, you're looking at 3 to 6 years in state prison. So.
And it's only marijuana, right?
Well, that's what it's only marijuana. But the problem is, you're right. Mm-hmm. They don't differentiate marijuana from cocaine to all. They lump it together. So until that changes, it's
as they should.
I agree they should. I think it will be changed eventually. But yes, that I try to nail that into my clients' heads all the time that have marijuana issues.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for the call. We really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem.
Be well. Take care.
Bye.
What happens if I'm driving drunk and somebody hits me?
That's a great question, because I get that all the time where people get – they call me. They get, I got a DUI. I got into an accident. It was not my fault.
Yeah. Or I thought somebody hit me.
that could be it too. Yeah. Here's the thing. The law, when it comes to the criminal case, doesn't look at whose fault the accident – I mean, you can still get a DUI if someone slams into you. In fact, that's one of the examples I give all the time. I say you could be pulling in to get gas. If someone slams into you and you do nothing wrong – you're going to potentially get a DUI from that marijuana that you smoked 20 days ago.
Man.
You know? And I always hear, oh, I never thought about that. You know, so you have to be really, really careful all the time. So, yeah, you can still get a DUI. And you
– is that unbelievable?
It's something that would have happened to you and I probably. Yeah,
exactly.
I mean
– Look, this is the responsibility or the not responsibility of using and driving. That's it.
I mean, and people think that pot does not impair you, but I can tell you it does impair you.
Right. I mean, listen, I mean, I know I have friends that smoke marijuana. I have tons of people I know that. And I can tell you that, you know, just it definitely impairs your ability. There's no doubt it does, especially if you're using it every day. I'm not talking about medical marijuana, but if you're using it every day recreationally and then you're driving, you know, you're certainly putting yourself and everybody else at risk because, you know, you're sluggish. You're not, you know, people always say, yeah, but, you know, it helps me. I drive slower. It makes me concentrate. It does all that. Well, guess what? None of that's a defense when we go to court. We can't use that.
You can't use that.
No.
And I'm so worried about with this whole marijuana thing, the combination and also the people that don't smoke pot that just they have the reaction to it,
right,
and they get on the road. But the combination of alcohol and pot.
Well, I was going another way. I have people that tell me, and a lot of the young kids tell me, oh, I did a smoke marijuana. I don't know where this other drug came from, because a lot of times they're taking marijuana. They don't know what's in it, what it's laced with, or anything like that, and they're just taking it at a party left and right. And when I get the tox report back, it's not just marijuana. It might be a couple other things.
Are you seeing fentanyl?
I have seen fentanyl before, and I try to hammer that in where one little bit of fentanyl can kill you. And I've seen fentanyl a lot.
In the pot?
Not so much in the pot, but just, you know, in cases.
Zach, we're coming up to the hour. We really appreciate you being here. I just want to mention a couple people.
Yep.
Pam Cooper is watching. Robert Olveson is watching. Vic Boston is watching. A whole lot more. Listen, if you can't reach us today on the phone, go to our website, cleanandsoberbroadcasting.com. And remember, if you or a loved one is struggling with addiction, help is available. Please call 1-800-662-HELP. For Clean and Sober Radio, I'm Gary Hendler.
I'm Mark Sigmund.
Thanks for listening. To learn more about our broadcast, please join us on our mission at cleanandsoberbroadcasting.com.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.
The dust of war.